Good evening. The most key development in religious history is the development of the Holy Trinity, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which we remember and celebrate this weekend. And I remember a professor in seminary who told me, if you're going to avoid preaching on anything, avoid preaching on the Trinity, because it's the easiest way to start preaching heresy. Because it's so complicated and so mysterious to start talking about God and who God is that it's so easy to stumble into error. But one distinction that I remember we did talk about in class that was helpful is what we call the Trinity ad intra and the Trinity ad extra. Now you might say, well, Father, you just flew over my head. Don't worry. You probably can just figure out by the words what it means. Intra meaning internal. How God relates to himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is probably the more mysterious part of the Trinity. You know, what is it like to be the Son of the Father? You know, it's hard to know that. But one thing we can know more about is the Trinity ad extra, external. How the Trinity relates to us, to the world. Sometimes we can think, though, that God is only the Trinity ad extra. We kind of think, well, that's God, just the things I can see and touch and understand. I remember recently a friend of mine, Melissa, called, and she, I'm very close friends with her family, and their son, Jacob, was one night he was talking about school, and his mom asked him what he might want to be when he grows up, and he's like, well, I don't know, at school we talked about this and that. And his mom, very craftily, a good Catholic woman, decided to suggest to little Jacob that maybe he might want to become a priest someday. So she said, Jacob, would you maybe want to become a priest someday? And he just looked at her very puzzled, and he says, oh no, that means I'd have to be like Father Matt, and I'd have to live alone and drink beer and have a cat. You see, Jacob had this really narrow understanding of priesthood because evidently all he's ever seen me do is live alone and drink beer and have a cat. And see, sometimes we can take the same approach with God where our only understanding of God is what we've seen God do. That's the Trinity ad extra, but we've never seen the Trinity ad intra. For that, we have to develop a relationship with God. That's the only way to know the inner workings of the Trinity. To know God more intimately. When it comes to the Father, one of the first things that people look at the Trinity ad extra and they think, well, and thinking about the Father, their first question that comes to mind is, why is he a Father? You see, the church teaches that on one hand, God is neither male nor female, right? On the other hand, we talk about God being our Father, so that's a little confusing. But notice the difference. There's a difference in words there, which, of course, for us are the same, but for God is different. Male indicates a gender, whereas father indicates a relationship, right? As in, I'm relating to you as a father, fatherly. And that's how God chose to reveal himself in the Old Testament, primarily, as a father. He did not reveal himself as male or female, but he did say that he wanted to relate to his children as a father. Relates to his children. Unfortunately, this is also very hard for us to understand because sometimes our only experience, like little Jacob, is a little bit skewed. How many of you had perfect fathers? None of us. I remember when I was a kid, my father tended to be very strict, very demanding, almost harsh sometimes. And some of you know I can be that way sometimes. But later on in life, my dad kind of went too far the other way, and now he's a softy. You ask the guy for $100, he'll whip it out, you know? Don't get any ideas, he's all mine. And many of you here didn't have a father, or had a bad example of a father, or perhaps were married at some time and your children no longer have a good example of a father. I read an interesting article recently on a major news site. This said, regardless of the religion and the practice of the religion of the mother, the children will almost always follow the practice of the religion of the father. Meaning, moms, you can be the most holiest woman in the world, but your kids are going to tend to follow the example of the father, whatever it may be. Why? Because God made fathers to be strong leaders. I am sorry if you did not have a good example of a father. And fathers, if you feel that perhaps you haven't been a good example, it's never too late to get down on your knees and to ask God to make you a good father. The only way that people are going to know God the Father better is by knowing their earthly fathers as holy, right? Because if Jacob thinks I'm just a guy who drinks beer and lives alone and has a cat, then he's not going to want to be a priest. But if he sees something more, something holy, something desirable, then he'll want it. And this goes for mothers too, that we be examples for our children and want to be like our mothers, especially as daughters. And this is exactly what the Son also shows us. In fact, when Jesus came, he said, I'm not here on my own accord. I'm here because the Father sent me. And my whole job, the whole job of Jesus, was to reveal the Father, to show us who the Father was. Again, that Trinity ad extra. He's going out. He's reaching out to us. And one of the things, key things that Jesus taught us is that we are his brothers and sisters, right? And that he wants us to be like him. And I guess one of the things that occurred to me is, if I'm supposed to be like Jesus, then am I supposed to reveal the Father too? And you know, as I was praying about it, I think so. In fact, it occurred to me that perhaps in everything I do, I'm either revealing God or revealing anti-God, right? If I open the door for somebody, even that small kindness can be revealing God. But boy, if I slam it in their face, I've done just the opposite. And so, brothers and sisters, in each action we take, we are either revealing God or we're turning people away from him in every single action. The power that gives us the ability to turn people towards God, to reveal God, is the last person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a little bit different. The Holy Spirit wants to get inside of you and move you, animate you, inspire you. And those of you who have the gift of confirmation have that. But what I've learned in my own experience is that the Holy Spirit also takes a lot of trust. Do you guys remember the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? You remember how he's trying to find the grail before all the Nazis do and at least put it in a safe place. And he comes to those last three trials before he can get to the cup. And the very last one is this canyon, right? And it says that you're supposed to take a step in faith. And he's like, it's a long way down. I'm not stepping out there. And so he finally closes his eyes and he puts one foot out and he just leans forward, and all of a sudden his front foot comes down and it's hitting something solid. And then, of course, the camera does this cool thing where it goes to the side and shows you it was an optical illusion the whole time. Brothers and sisters, acting with the grace of the Holy Spirit is sometimes like Indiana Jones, where you got to do something that you are totally not comfortable with. And I think one of the biggest areas where that is true is right here in this parish in our stewardship. How many times do I call somebody and ask them to do something and say, Father, I don't know if I can do that. But you know what? What if God told me that you're supposed to do that and that you're going to grow into the gifts you need to do that and that people are going to suffer because you didn't respond in faith? Brothers and sisters, with the Holy Spirit, you can do anything that God wants you to do. I remember the first time I was praying with a group of, I'd been on a retreat with a group of charismatic Catholics, and they were encouraging me to pray in tongues. I'm like, you're weird, right? I think you're all crazy. And really, that's the attitude that I came into this retreat with. But what was good about this retreat is we had a good, solid leader, faithful to Catholic teaching, and she taught us from Catholic teaching to show us that these are things that are supported by our church. And I also treated with a lot of skepticism. I mean, is this just some type of brainwashing thing or group exercise where if you don't feel included, you start doing it, you know? But I did come to that final moment where I realized that this is biblical. This is supported by Scripture and the Catholic Church. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just scared. I'm scared of being a fool. I'm scared of looking like a fool. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be moved by God and if you want to be moved by the Holy Spirit, be prepared to look like a fool. St. Paul says those exact same words. You know, to anyone else, the cross of Jesus Christ is folly. It's ridiculous. But for me, it's salvation. We gain three simple lessons from the Trinity tonight as we reflect on its activity outside itself, the Trinity ad extra. That God is not just about a who or a what, but about a relationship. That the only way to know God is not to know just his activities outside himself, but to enter into a relationship with him. And that we are the ones who give the example of that relationship. We reveal God, just like Jesus did. But that often requires us to step out in faith, to go into an area where we're not comfortable. But brothers and sisters, be encouraged that you have not just a good self-help book, not a motivation tape. Guess we don't use tapes anymore, do we? Motivation podcast. You have God living inside of you. And if you have that, there is nothing you can't do.